Next.
The home of the Vancouver Canucks.
To the forehand. Scores!
This is Victoria's News Authority. This is CFAX 1070.
Eco-friendly since 1996. The number one roof demossing company. The Moss Man.
They're fully insured, environmentally conscious. Demoss thousands of roofs since 1996. They love to help, they'll save you time and money. Reliable and professional, the Moss Man. Visit mossman.ca.
Helen likes getting away from it all. But the last thing she wants is to get stuck in the middle of nowhere when she's on her way to somewhere. So while she's happy to get a great price, like brand name tires and professional installation for as little as $99.95 each, what she really wants is someone who knows her car and how to keep it running smoothly. Like the technicians at Goodwrench. Canada's smartest drivers go with Goodwrench at your local GM dealer.
While supplies last, taxes not included. Dealer may sell for less. See participating dealer for details.
It's 9:30. This is Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070. The news begins right now.
Cloudy with some sunny periods for today. Good morning. I'm Sheila Gardner. Liberal leader Michael Ignatieff is shifting his campaign focus from denying conservative claims that he would form a coalition with socialists and separatists to the economy. Campaigning in the Toronto area this morning, he attacked the Harper government's economic management. He says the Tories ran up a record deficit even before the recession. Stephen Harper is campaigning in Esquimalt, Juan de Fuca, while NDP leader Jack Layton is in Saskatchewan. A two-week sentencing hearing underway for the two teens who pleaded guilty to the murder of Kimberly Proctor. The Crown prosecutor is asking the court to sentence the two youths as adults. And they were 16 and 17 at the time of the crime and pleaded guilty in October to the first-degree murder of Kimberly Proctor. If they are sentenced as adults, their names would no longer be protected by a publication ban, and they would receive automatic life sentences with no chance of parole for 10 years. If sentenced as youths, they would receive a 10-year sentence with a maximum of 6 years in custody and 4 years under supervision in the community. The burnt and mutilated body of 18-year-old Pacific secondary student Kimberly Proctor was found under a bridge on the Galloping Goose Trail last March. Saanich police are now appealing to the public for help in locating suspects in a sexual assault that happened Friday night. A 20-year-old woman was forced into a car with four men at the intersection of Cedar Hill Cross Road and Cedar Hill Road. Saanich police spokesman Dean Jansen says she was the victim of multiple assaults in the vehicle, not all sexual. He says police have a few details to go on, but not very much. The woman suffered minor injuries and is receiving support from the Victoria Women's Sexual Assault Center. After the news at 9, we didn't get a correct answer to our newsmaker question. So after the news at 10, our prize will be $418 cash. CFAX 1070 weather, cloudy, some sunny breaks, and very slight chances of showers. Showers tonight, though, becoming windy late in the evening, and a low of plus 4. Showers tomorrow and 10, and Wednesday, periods of rain and 12. Currently downtown, it's 7 degrees. I'm Sheila Gardner. If it's happening, it's here. Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070. It's coming up on 9:34.
You can't always count on the weather, but you can count on CFAX 1070 to get it right the first time, every time. If it's happening, it's here. Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070.
Have you ever scraped your bumper or found a mysterious scratch on your car?
Uh-oh.
Island Color will fix that scrape or scratch for less than your deductible, in-store or mobile. Island Color at Princess and on Johnson. Call 386-0615. It's time to sell, or maybe your lease is up. How does your car look? Island Detail can help. From a quick clean to a shiny showroom finish, Island Detail will have your car looking gorgeous.
Wow, but now I want to keep it.
Island Detail at Princess and on Johnson, 386-0615.
B is for birdie.
Yeah!
B is for bogey.
Aw.
And B is for bucket, burger, and beer.
Do you mean?
Indeed. Highland Pacific Golf presents the return of the BBB special. Get a bucket of balls. calls for $10.70 every day after 11 a.m. A burger and beer come with it.
Yeah!
And with every purchase, a donation goes to CFAX Sans Anonymous.
Cool.
The BBB special, only at Highland Pacific Golf, just behind Vic General.
Sweetie, how about calling me a cab?
So you're a cab?
No, seriously, hon. What's the number?
382-4235.
Isn't that the number for Bluebird cabs? The blue and...
Yeah, that's right. Bluebird cabs. The blue and white cabs.
382-4235?
That's right. 382-4235.
Now how about making that call?
Sure. What's the number again?
382-4235. Bluebird cabs. Safe, comfortable, and on time. Rely on Bluebird cabs' wheelchair-accessible vans and drivers trained in senior and handicapped assistance. There's always a Bluebird nearby. Call 382-4235.
Hello, I'm Strawberry.
I'm Blackberry.
Blueberry.
Raspberry.
And we'd like to tell you about Tim Horton's new Mixed Berry Real Fruit Smoothie.
Well, it's called Mixed Berry, but really the strawberry defines it.
You mean Blackberry?
She meant Raspberry.
Guys, it's called Mixed Berry. We all contribute. But mostly blueberries.
No, you do not!
I do too!
Tim Horton's new real fruit smoothies in mixed berry or strawberry banana. Just $1.99 plus tax for a small. Try one with yogurt for just 70 cents more. Always a great value.
Always Tim Horton's.
At participating restaurants, prices may vary by region.
Curiously, at Canada's Royal Winnipeg Ballet. Alice, like you've never seen her before.
From within the house, there came a constant howling and sneezing, and every now and then a great crash. Alice, stepping inside, had no idea what it was that she was to discover next.
Alice, in a topsy-turvy world of wit and surreal fun.
Alice.
Experience the Royal Winnipeg Ballet's Wonderland. March 31st, April 2nd, at the Royal Theatre. Go to rmts.bc.ca.
Now, Straight Talk, Murray Langdon on CFAX 1070.
We've got more chatter about the federal election and the campaigns that are underway. We're going to take a little bit of a detour here. I want to talk about the business sector. Now, an awful lot of people say it would be great to invest some money, plan my retirement. I think we've had a very good discussion over the last couple of years about fiscal literacy and what to do with your hard-earned dollars. Joining us for a conversation is author Peter Leeds, the man behind Invest in Penny Stocks, A Guide to Profitable Trading. Peter, great to have you on the program today.
Murray, thanks for having me here.
It's a much welcome break, I'm sure, for some folks from all this federal election talk. I do have to ask, though, what traditionally happens when we see elections here in Canada? Do the markets go haywire, or do we get a bit of stability?
Well, it depends a lot on, you know, what kind of election you're talking about. Usually people in elections are not hiring a new politician, they're firing the old one. So I think that the country is about to enter an election that's going to end up resulting in not much of a difference. So I don't think it's going to really have too much impact on the markets.
Taking a look at the markets, now, people may have a perception that stocks that are worth less than a dollar may be risky or volatile or foolish. I'd like to get some good common sense news you can use here, Peter. How, first and foremost, getting information. How do people get themselves better informed in order to get set to invest?
Well, they need to do their due diligence, and unfortunately, people doing their due diligence, they'll check out a company's website or they'll look at a couple press releases, and that's all they'll do, and they'll feel better about their investment decision. But they haven't really got down to the core of the matter. They haven't really looked thoroughly into the company, and that's why so many people get involved with the wrong companies and at the wrong prices and wind up not doing too well with their investments.
Peter, talk about your background and why you thought this book would be a useful guide in terms of sharing some principles behind trading.
Absolutely. I mean, this is the book I wish I would have read when I was 14 years old, because when I got started trading stocks, I was 14, and I lost all my money in about 2 weeks. So it would have been great if this book had already been written and I had already read it, you know. So I'm basically writing it for myself, but I'm also writing it for the thousands of people who are getting involved with lower price, more speculative stocks. And what we're doing is we're trying to help them first and foremost avoid the pitfalls, which are easily avoidable if you know what to look for. And secondly, to find the really good, high quality companies that are, you know, they're going places, they've got rock solid fundamentals, but they're just trading at pennies a share or lower prices just because they're undervalued or overlooked.
How often do you think people get into the stock market looking at, say, smaller value stocks and think, boy, if this just doubles or quadruples, even if it only goes up 18 cents, I'm going to double or quadruple my money, I'll be set?
I think it's absolutely very common. Actually, penny stocks is one of the most popular financial searches on the Internet, above and beyond stock brokers, stock quotes, stock picks, New York Stock Exchange. That translates into millions of people in North America alone just actively looking for guidance on penny stocks. And what we're trying to do is you know, keep them safe when they go and get involved with that and avoid the 95% of penny stocks, which actually represent not great investments, and try and find that 5% that are well-run companies with great management teams that have, you know, very low debt levels and improving earnings and are probably going to do very well going forward.
So where does the information gathering exercise begin? What do you look for? How do you start?
Well, most people would probably want to start just even on the Internet. First of all, you know, go to the company's website, sure, but also, you know, look at the financials. That, you know, if they're trading on the stock exchange, they have a duty to provide investor visibility, put out their financials, make them easily accessible. You need to look at the financials, the balance sheet, what kind of debt do they have. You look at the income statement. But you also want to take it a level further and look at one thing I suggest people always do, very few people take advantage of this, is to call the company up. Call them up, talk to the investor relations contact, and you'd be amazed by talking to the people there, ask them a few questions, how much your opinion of whether or not you should invest in that company will change just by a brief, you know, 10, 15-minute conversation. I actually am always pushing people to do that more often, and I do it in my book as well. I say make sure to call the company before you put your money into it.
If you take a look at any publicly traded stock, you can generally see a list of press releases, some current, some going back. And at the bottom, usually there is a contact, and it is investor relations. I often wonder how many people actually take advantage of that, because that's the job of these people. Their names and numbers are there. They are supposed to be there to ask or answer questions.
That's an excellent point. And I'll tell you, Murray, that they want you to call. That's their job. They need you to call. They need to answer your questions, and they want to try and, you know, get some interest in their company. And people, you know, it's very significant that people hardly ever call the investor relations, because I think they're worried about what to ask, or that they might sound foolish or something. But in the book, again, I've put some sort of guidance on how to contact the company, what to ask them, and you'll get a better idea of the investment by doing that.
As part of the book, let's go through some of the dangers, as it were, the top five things that you need to be aware of. And I guess first, Peter, a great place to start would be the realization that not all stocks are destined to be winners.
That's correct. And I'm a penny stock investor, and I'm the first person to say that we wouldn't go near about, you know, a lot of penny stocks that are out there. We put every stock we look into through our leads analysis process, and that basically gives you about 5% of the stocks that totally went in there. 5% of them are good enough to pass the analysis, because we're looking at everything. So you need to be very careful when you get involved with penny stocks. There's a lot of dangers. There's a lot of hidden motivations, people taking money from the companies that they talk about to try and drive up the share price, and they'll give you these reports about the company that are very misleading to try and, you know, basically trick people into buying the shares. That's one of the things you got to look out for. But it's, you know, that's kind of running rampant. So you have to be very cautious when you proceed if you get involved with the speculative stocks.
Okay, and I went to your website. Let me ask you yourself, because you've got a newsletter that you can sign up, correct?
That's correct.
And I think there's a charge for it as well, correct?
Correct.
So what's your responsibility as either someone who, I don't want to say an advisor, but someone who puts information out there? I mean, because ultimately, this is your livelihood, this is your reputation on the line as well.
That's correct. The difference being that most people who are involved in the, I'll call it the penny stock arena, they are receiving compensations from the companies that they talk about, whether it be in the way of shares or money, or they have vested interests in that they own millions of the shares themselves, and they're telling other people to buy them. And when people start buying, they're selling into that. We have a 100% unbiased guarantee. Any company we talk about, we receive, myself and my team, we receive no compensation of any form from the companies we analyze, review, publish, we just basically have your best interests in mind when we put any information out.
So when people do get information from companies, how wary do they need to be? In other words, if they get info, say, from free newsletters or on message boards or, you know, the spam email, the hot pick of the week, why should people be wary of that?
People should be absolutely wary of that. They should never take any stock pick or any information they get for free or by giving out their email address or from a free website. There's a lot of players out there who have hidden motivations, who are just putting out faulty information, and people are getting that information. They're feeling like they're doing their due diligence. What we're trying to do is guide people to sidestep all of that junk that's out there and look at good quality companies that happen to be trading for lower share prices. For example, you know, one of our picks when General Motors went out of business was Ford Motor Company, and it was trading at $1.87, and it wound up within about a year and a half going up towards $14 or so. And people don't think of Ford when they think of penny stock, but any stock $5 and under is technically a penny stock. So that's the kind of investments that we're looking at to try and get people involved in the right kinds of companies at the right time. We're not dealing with some of these little pump and dump, you know, jokes of companies that have basically, it's a lot of smoke and mirrors. And it's pretty prevalent out there, so you have to be very cautious.
So how can we get an understanding of why the share values are lower? I mean, what truly defines a penny stock? Why is the value so much lower than, say, I don't want to use a Google, but let's say, take your pick, an Apple or whatever. Why is the value so different?
Well, the thing is that a lot of these companies that we look at are undiscovered or undervalued, maybe, like, for example, the example of Ford I gave earlier. General Motors is going out of business, and we took a look at General Motors. Books were bad. We took a look at Ford. It was really actually strong and a good potential, so we picked it because it was basically a turnaround play. There's a lot of companies, too, that are just smaller or newer. So they've got five employees. They're working on being the next Microsoft or the next Apple or Google, but they start tiny. They have basically, you know, Microsoft, if you know, their first sign for the company was written on a piece of cardboard and stuck in the garage window. I mean, these companies start small, and what we do is we're trying to root through the thousands and thousands of penny stocks out there and try and find the hidden gems that are actually good quality companies with somebody, you know, a good management team leading the ship, and try and find those when they're just starting to get to that inflection point or that tipping point where they're starting to bring in more money than they're spending, and that they're going to, you know, see a pretty good increase in investor visibility.
Given our accessibility to information via the net, via social media, and our high level of connectivity, how can we have an overlooked or an undiscovered stock? That would be my question.
I think it's because of just the sheer volume of them. I mean, there, like I said, there are thousands and thousands of stocks trading, you know, in lower price ranges. And people look at all that, and they're basically overwhelmed by the information. So they need to have a sort of an understanding and a system of how to approach that information to, you know, pick out the diamonds in there and also avoid all the rest of it.
So where would you recommend people to look for information?
Well, there are some newsletters, paid newsletters, that, you know, they're doing a lot of the work for you. But I also suggest, you know, going online and taking a look at them and looking at their press releases, taking those with a grain of salt because they are written by people who have a motivation to try and put their company in the best light. I think that people should call the company up, but I think that they should also take a look at the company's products or services and maybe try them out. Also, maybe contact the competitors of that company and ask the competitor, what do you think about this company? What do you think about their product and service? And you would be amazed if you start getting into this and doing a little bit of it. You'd be amazed how fun it is and how actually it will really supercharge your investment results just by giving you more clarity, better decisions, and better direction.
All right. Now, having said that, and it seems very practical and very straightforward, are investors generally willing to do the work? Because that's really where the rubber hits the road. And given what's at stake and what's at play, you would think that people would be willing to pick up the phone and make those calls to investor relations and spend time doing some research. But I get the impression, correct me if I'm wrong, that people don't.
Murray, you're absolutely correct. People do not take the time to do what's needed. I mean, some people have lower investment amounts and it's not worth it for them to do the work. Other people we all have busy lives. I mean, you know, it's not the first priority in people's minds or even the top 10 of priorities. I mean, so a lot of people aren't going to take the time to do the research they need to actually really effectively become an excellent investor. And so, you know, that's when it becomes sort of logical for them to try and get some guidance or some help in that arena.
All right. So how do you develop that approach? How do you develop the tactics on when to trade, how much to trade, and maybe a bit of the rationale behind it? And I know this is getting a bit technical, but this is basically the formatics of stock trading.
Right, absolutely. I mean, what we do I'll take a step back and I'll say that, as I mentioned, when I started investing at 14 years old, I lost all my money in 2 weeks. And that, you know, it could have been the worst thing that happened to me, but I actually used that to try and learn how to invest well. And that's what gave birth to Leeds Analysis, which is my own system to pick stocks. And what I did is I read every book I could find about technical analysis, fundamental analysis, reading Warren Buffett, Peter Lynch, Peter Munk, these technical analysis books from Europe. And I took parts out of all of that and basically built, you know, what is Leeds analysis. And what it does is it takes a look at just about every aspect of a company, because the smaller something is, the less it takes to move them. So a tiny company with one lawsuit or losing one major client, they can be in a little bit of trouble. So you have to look at every aspect of a company. We look at 80% fundamental analysis by looking at the publicly available financial reports, the balance sheet, the income statement. We do about 10% technical analysis, where we're looking for good buying opportunities. And we do 10% third-level analysis, which is something that I don't know anyone else who does this, but 10% of our research is looking at a company's branding and positioning and differentiation and marketing strategies, so that it'll see, you'll see if a company's got a competitive advantage or not based on the way that they are driving their marketing campaign.
So is that basically like an intra-sector or intra-industry comparator?
It's sort of recognizing when a company's got a competitive advantage through their branding. So, for example, if, you know, there's a lot of people, if they buy a motorcycle, they will only buy a Harley Davidson. Is Harley Davidson the best motorcycle out there? Maybe, maybe not. But there's people who are absolutely committed to that. You know, and an example of a bad branding strategy would be Southwest Airlines, which has spent tens of millions of dollars trying to tell people that they fly in places other than just the Southwest. But it's bad branding to begin with, so they're now at a disadvantage because they're continually spending marketing money trying to, you know, undo a mistake they made in the first place.
So is timing everything?
It depends.
So maybe yes.
Sometimes it is, and sometimes it isn't. You know, when you're getting into a small undiscovered company, that's, you know, a newer company. You know, I've invested in companies like that. That then, you know, a year goes by and nothing's happened. A year and a half goes by before it finally makes its significant move over the course of a few weeks or months. But sometimes, you know, so in those cases, you've got plenty of time to get involved with good quality companies before everybody else discovers them. When that company gets discovered, that, you know, that's not something you can fully know ahead of time. Sometimes timing is absolutely paramount, and like I said, it really depends on the companies.
When is the right time to invest, or is that something that you need to map out as well? If we take a look at a 12-month calendar year, you know, some will say, I guess anytime's the right time. I've heard other people use blanket statements, buy when it snows, sell when it goes. I mean, how are people to figure this out?
Well, you know, it depends what you're investing in. The timing of when you should invest, it depends what you're investing in. For example, I mean, you've seen yourself, Murray, that there's a lot of inflation overseas, and it's starting to creep into North America. There's, you know, a lot of concerns with what's going on in Japan. These global events that are creating both risks and opportunities here. So, I mean, a lot of our picks for the newsletter lately have been, you know, inflation-proof companies, you know, and a lot of gold mining companies, silver mining. You know, we got involved in a uranium company. We suggested to our subscriber base, right, you know, on the heels of what happened in Japan, you know, uranium stocks absolutely got, you know, killed in price. And we said, well, nuclear power is not going anywhere. China's got 10 nuclear reactors. They're building 30 more right now. They've made a statement that even, you know, despite what happened in Japan, they're still going to keep going. Japan's even actually come out and said, despite the tragedy that's going on there right now, they're still going to keep their nuclear program on track. So you've got all these uranium companies that were trading at bargain levels because of the shock and the panic of what was happening, that now are starting to go back up in price. And so that's an example of, you know, knowing when to buy something and if it's a good time or not.
So do we need to pay attention to world events? I mean, because I could think almost anything could be a trigger that would affect either an individual company or the market at large.
Absolutely. We pay a lot of attention to global events, you know, between prices of commodities and inflation and, you know, wars going on and all sorts of things. I mean, there's people on the streets of London, England now who are protesting the austerity measures. You need to keep an eye on all of this because a lot of it has significant impacts on the stocks that are trading on the stock markets here. And you need to sort of be aware of that, know where your risks are, know where your opportunities are.
and identifying those risks, I guess that's, you almost need a checklist. Is there a flow chart people need to follow? Because it sounds quite involved.
If you find one, please send me a copy.
But mapping out that strategy means you do have to harness all this research and put it in some sort of logical order.
Exactly. And I know that it's not realistic for some people to really do that. And I mean, part of what I'm doing is with the newsletter and the book is I'm trying to help people understand better how to know what to do, have better clarity with their investments, and also know what to watch out for. And that can be global events. That could be just, you know, a company whose CEO is an alcoholic. You never know. You know, there's a whole spectrum here, and it can be a lot of fun, and it's not as complicated as people think. And with the book, I tried to really make it really easy to understand, but I also wanted people to learn a lot really quickly and really increase their knowledge without it being a boring or a taxing read. And so I think I accomplished that with the book, so we're pretty proud of that.
And how important is that, Peter? Because I know there's scads of business books out there. There's scads of material people can find on the web. How do you, as someone who wants to put this information out there, get that across to people so it doesn't come across as, you know, uber-intellectual or overly cerebral?
Well, I'm fortunate in the sense that a lot of my followers are people, and a lot of my, you know, target demographic are people who have never invested or are just getting into investing or have never invested in penny stocks. Maybe somebody's got $2,000-$3,000 and they want to turn that into something much more. You're not going to really get much advantage by putting that into IBM or Microsoft or Google. Even if the stock does well, you're going to make 5-10%. People don't seem to be as interested in that right now. I think people want to take their $2,000 or $3,000, and I mean, you can even start with a few hundred dollars and try and put it into something that if they're right, that money is going to actually have a pretty significant increase in price.
Peter, if people want to find out where to get the book, can you recommend a website?
Well, there's a lot of places to get anywhere books are sold, although it hasn't been as prominent in Canada. But so there's links to everywhere you can get the book at peterleeds.com, and you can go there in one click, and you can buy it either online or find it in a bookstore just about anywhere across the States.
Peter Leeds is author of the new book, Invest in Penny Stocks, A Guide to Profitable Trading. Peter, congratulations, and thanks very much for your time this morning.
Thanks very much, Murray.
All the best.
Take care.
Peter Leeds joining us on the line from Ontario. Again, peterleeds.com is the website. News to 10 o'clock is next. French aircraft have struck a Libyan military command center south of the capital. Plus, an update on the Prime Minister's visit here to the capital region.
Start your day in the know. Mornings with Al Farabee. Weekdays 5 to 9 on Victoria's News Authority. CFAX 1070.
Your lawn and gardens represent a huge investment and warrant due care and attention.
I learned the hard way. The frigid weather caught us off guard and our sprinkler system suffered major damage. I now have a service agreement with Hall's Earth Service Irrigation.
Pre-scheduled service on your irrigation system helps to keep costs down and minimize water consumption. Hall's Earth Service maintenance packages offer priority scheduling on winterization and early spring startup. Make every drop of water count with Hall's Earth Service Irrigation. 652-0112 at hallsirrigation.ca.
The Fairy Tale Predator Support Meeting will start now. Our first speaker.
Hey, how you doing? I'm BB Wolf, and I would like to share a victory. Yesterday, I blew a house down, roof collapsed with one puff. I guess not all homeowners use SOAR contracting. Extra bacon, anybody?
Big Bad Wolves hate SOAR contracting. So if you need metal roofing, torch on, and asphalt shingles, or if you have any roof concerns at all, visit their website today at soarcontracting.com. That's SOARE contracting.com.
Time to refurbish your deck and fencing now that spring has finally sprung? Michael here for Windsor Plywood. We have all the cleaners and exterior stains to kickstart your outside projects. From Sick and Stains to Shell Buzzies deck cleaners, it's time to get rid of that winter haze. Cedar and pressure-treated decking, fencing material, it's all value-priced at Windsor Plywood on Keating Crossroad and on Van Aar Way in the West Shore. Come and check us out, folks. We are your outdoor store.
The experts you need to know.
Dear Mom, I'm leaving. I was raised to believe there was good in the world, but then you threw out that juice carton. You can forward my mail to Sarah's house. Yours disappointedly, Daisy.
Don't mess with karma.
Always return your drink cartons for recycling. Find depots at returnit.ca.
A large coffee, please.
Ordering one large coffee.
Ordering one large coffee.
One large coffee.
That's a large coffee.
Does that say close to
somebody give me a large coffee over here?
Roger. That's one large coffee. Over.
How many people are between you and your morning coffee? With Level Ground Direct Fair Trade Coffee, it's just one.